Welcome back in hour number three of Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, brought to you by Volunteer State Bank. Real people, real solutions right here. Member FDIC, equal housing lender. Robbie Stanley alongside Joe Rex Road and Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Tuesday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. And we are pleased to go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in our friend Ben Arthur from the Tennessee. And Ben, what's going on? How are we doing?
How's it going, guys? Good to see you.
Good to be on with us. And look, Ben, we really appreciate you taking time to join us this morning. We've been talking a lot about the Titans this morning, where they fit into the AFC picture, and that big win against San Francisco to improve to 10-5. How big was that win in your mind? And as you look down the stretch here, the final two games of the regular season, what do you think of the chances the Titans have of maybe still tracking down that one seed in the AFC?
Yeah, to answer the first part of your question, I mean, the win was huge. I mean, first of all, for in terms of playoff jostling, right? You win, you kind of fend off the Colts a bit. You're in position. That winning last week means you're in position to clinch the AFC South this weekend by beating Miami. And then just in terms of confidence, especially on the offensive side of the ball, right? We know what the defense has been doing pretty much all season. They've been really the top unit for this team, but the offense has struggled. We know kind of how much this offense has struggled to kind of score points without having kind of their star skill position players, really not having much depth at the skill positions. But then when you get AJ back, you just saw how this is a completely different offense with him on the field as a downfield threat. Ryan Tannehill is a different quarterback when you have a guy like A.J. Brown to throw to, someone who's explosive in after the catch, yards after the catch situations, and just being able to get open and the attention he draws, being able to kind of free up other guys as well. So winning was not only just so huge for just the playoff implications and kind of staying alive for that one seed, but also I think for an offense that really needs to be elite, to kind of get back to what we've seen in the past, for this team to kind of really compete in the postseason and the playoffs, make a deep run, as we all kind of know that this team is kind of built for. Kind of getting the offense back on track was a massive deal for these Titans.
Well, let's stick specifically with Tannehill, Ben. The quarterback's always going to be probably the most discussed person on a football team, and I'd say he has been no exception this year. But how do you assess his season, given the challenges around him, but also mistakes and sort of inconsistent play that he's put forth on several weeks?
Yeah, I think it's obvious that he plays better when he has more talent around him. I don't think he's an elite quarterback. He wasn't really able to, we know what he's kind of had to deal with, right? With no Derek and no AJ, and then Julio Jones kind of being in and out of the lineup. He really struggled to kind of lift this team. But then you also have to kind of look at what he had around him, guys unable to get open, winning in single coverage and the pass protection issues, meaning he doesn't have much time to throw. And then I think kind of his own issues as well, like he's part of the reason to blame it as well, right? I think as Mike Vrabel and I think Todd Downing have tried to remind all of us, is that it's kind of the issues with Tannehill have kind of been all across the board. It hasn't just been him. It's kind of been everything. But like so many other guys, it's obvious that Ryan is a better quarterback when he has his talent around him. Like, you can even look at the Colts Cardinals game, Kyler Murray playing, without DeAndre Hopkins, and kind of that offense struggling as much as they did. I think there are so many examples we can point to throughout the season of quarterbacks not really looking all that great when they don't have their number one or number two options out there. And I'm even thinking, Joe, when we were in Pittsburgh watching the Buccaneers get shut out by the Saints, and Tom Brady was playing without Chris Godwin and Mike Evans, and Leonard Fournette got hurt in that game. And so playing without your top guys is a really big deal. You know, Ryan isn't, you know, the perfect quarterback, but I think he's a good enough quarterback. And I think when you have top guys to throw to, and when the guys up front can block well enough, giving him time, I think he can be a very successful quarterback, just like we've seen in 2019, 2020, how efficient this offense was. So yeah, for the Titans' sake, for their offense's sake, you hope you can keep AJ out there. You hope Julio can remain on the field, and then hopefully getting Derek back down the stretch. That's still unclear. But when Ryan has all of his weapons around him and the pass protection, the guys up front are playing solid. This is an offense to worry about.
Ben Arthur from the Tennessean on the line with us, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. And Ben, obviously, there's been a lot of chatter the last few days and weeks about Derrick Henry and when he could return to this lineup for the Titans. We've thrown this question around all week, and I'm interested to get your thoughts on it. If Derrick Henry is, I guess, available for this team coming down the stretch in the next couple of weeks, let's say the Houston game, is there any chance you play Derrick Henry before the regular season is over, or do you save him exclusively for the playoffs at this point?
Well, yeah, that's a good question. I think if you can kind of lock up the AFC South this weekend, if you can kind of keep winning, and we know that the run game, it started off kind of rough when Derrick first went down, but really the last several games, it's been fine with Dontrell Hilliard and Deontay Foreman and those guys kind of splitting the workload. I think you can kind of manage the run game as long as you have AJ out there. I think if the run game kind of keeps on the right track and AJ and you're getting enough production in that passing game, I think you should maybe hold off on Derek just to make sure he's 110% right for the deep playoff run you hope to go on. I think that's been a big reason why the Titans, you know, many people have been looking at them getting that first round bye. I mean, that's important for obvious reasons, but for health reasons and with what this team has dealt with, you get that extra week to make sure Derrick Henry is right when he returns to the lineup. That's huge. And so I think with kind of what we saw in like late third quarter, fourth quarter from that offense against the 49ers on Thursday Night Football, if they can kind of keep that up, I think you would hope that maybe you can kind of not maybe rush Derek back, because, you know, with a foot injury and a guy his size and the position he plays, you really don't want to take a chance at any setbacks and just trying to rush him back at the end of the regular season. So I think if you can hold back a little bit and you can keep rolling as an offense without him, I say kind of hold him until the postseason.
So, Ben, what do you think of this matchup and the Dolphins? You know, won 7 straight games. They've also had an incredibly soft schedule. I mean, last night they're playing Ian Book. But what do you think about them as a team in this particular matchup?
Yeah, we know how hot the Dolphins are right now. That I guess what they're the first team to go on a 7-game losing streak and then have a 7-game winning streak in the same season. But the competition they've played, right? I mean, they beat Houston, they're not very good. They beat the Jets twice, they're not very good. They beat the Giants, they're not very good. The Panthers, they're not very good. Really, the only quality win is Baltimore, and then the Saints last night. They were playing with a fourth-round rookie in Ian Book, who'd never played in the NFL. So the Dolphins are hot, but you really don't know how good of a team they actually are. We know how great their defense is, and so I think if you're the Titans' offense, really, like I was saying with Derek, if you can carry over – that momentum from the second half down the stretch against the 49ers into this game, when you're going to need a guy like AJ, you know, at his best, again, just being able to push the ball downfield, getting those explosive plays in the passing game are going to be really big. The thing I'm concerned about is kind of the pass protection. We've seen the COVID issues that have kind of sprung out of nowhere for the Titans. It kind of started with the offensive line. It's kind of spread around the team a little bit, that they're still without three guys. What is it? Taylor Lewan, Nate Davis, and Kendall Lamb. So from pass protection standpoint, you're kind of concerned. We saw what the Dolphins did to Ian Book. I think it was 6 or 7 sacks they had. And so this is going to be a game, probably another game for Dylan Raidens to step up, Aaron Brewer to step up, Cedric Oguihi, who they just signed to the practice squad, is probably going to, if they can't get some of those guys back, he's going to have to step up front. So I think, again, this is going to be another game where pass protection is going to be really key for Tennessee and just kind of keeping Tannehill protected so we can get the ball to guys like AJ who we know can really be a game changer. So that's kind of what I'm looking for, is kind of how the Titans deal with this defense, this Miami defense in particular, and how they can kind of protect Tannehill up front.
Ben, last thing for you here. How would you kind of evaluate the job that Todd Downing has done this year? Obviously, you lose Derrick Henry. A.J. Brown's been in and out of the lineup. You've been battling through injuries all season long. Overall, how do you rate the job that Todd Downing has done on offense?
Yeah, it's been an up and down year. I think, especially early downs, and I think it was kind of very pronounced in that 49ers game. Even with having kind of a big thing was having, Downing doesn't have his best players out there. They kind of been in and out of the lineup, but you had, apart from some guys maybe on the offensive line, you did have more talent at the skill positions. You had AJ come back, and what we saw in that first half and really into the third quarter too, just still struggling on early downs, on first downs. I think in the entire first half, they only gained 1 yard on first down. There's some penalty yardage there. Just overall this season, this offense just struggling to not only start drives, but to kind of finish drives in the end zone as well. It's several games now, I want to say 6 games in a row where they haven't scored more than 23 points. It's been an up and down year for him. Again, like the injuries, I think when you assess the job he's done, you do kind of, as you were kind of alluding to, the injuries, you have to take that into consideration. The offensive line continuity issues they've had all season, losing Derek on Halloween, AJ being in and out, Julio being in and out, Marcus Johnson out for the season, some of the other weapons they have on offense not being available. So it's really tough to kind of assess the job he's done. I think we've certainly seen flashes of him kind of being in his bag, so to speak. Like, I remember the first Jacksonville game, that game was played without Julio, I believe. And then we just saw some really amazing play calling in that game. It's kind of been up and down, guys. It's going to be really interesting to see what the Titans do at that spot, at offensive coordinator heading into 2022. Kind of something I think about is just how much loyalty, trust Mike Vrabel has showed to his assistants in the past, right? There were so many people who wanted Shane Bowen canned after what happened last year with the defense, how bad the pass rush was, the kind of historically bad efficiency on third down, and then kind of this year, Bowen kind of working with better personnel. He's officially the defensive coordinator this year, doesn't have to kind of juggle two jobs at once, and we've seen that unit thrive. And so you have to wonder if what the Titans will kind of do at offensive coordinator, kind of look at all the injuries and all the continuity issues and really maybe kind of bolster some of the skill positions in the off season, and then kind of give him another chance in 2022. So, it's going to be fascinating, guys. I don't really have a perfect answer for you, but it has been, you know, up and down. And then I think for his sake, for the Titans offense's sake, you hope you can be healthy down the stretch here and into the playoffs to really see what he's capable of with kind of having all his top personnel guys, at least the ones that aren't on IR, kind of see what they can do to kind of help this team and what they hope is a deep playoff run.
Ben Arthur from the Tennessean has been our guest here on Robbie and Rexro. Does a great job covering the Titans for the Tennessean. Ben, great stuff as always, man. Appreciate you taking time to be with us this morning.
Thank you guys for having me on. You have a good one.
Absolutely. You as well. We'll come back. We'll react a little bit to what Ben had to say there. Welcome your thoughts on the Titans on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. The beautiful dulcet tones of Michelle Knezovic bringing us back in here today. Rex Road getting run over by a reindeer. This could be a year-round song for us, I think.
I think it's going to be.
Doesn't have to be the holidays.
I love the double wow there, you know?
Wow.
For effect.
I'm hysterically laughing by myself. It just brightened my morning.
As usual.
Laughing at my potential death.
No, Joe.
Death by reindeer.
It's just funny because Rex Road just fits into anything. You could say a sentence, a funny name. Somehow your last name, Rex Road, it just goes with it all.
Yeah. It goes with a lot of creative curse words, too.
It does. More astute analysis by me on that, too. Wow. Yeah. Really getting after it.
Well, I mean, it was Michelle chose violence, and what are you going to do? You know, that's a totally appropriate first reaction.
Taking your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. So, Joe Rexroad, I'll ask you the same question that I just asked Ben Arthur, the evaluation of Todd Downing, because I think that's a really difficult thing to do so far this year with the weapons that have been in and out of the lineup, specifically the weapon that has been out of the lineup since October 31st. By the way, today marking 8 weeks to the day since Derrick Henry has had surgery on his foot. So, obviously, there have been a ton of moving parts this year with the whole team, but offense as well with Derrick Henry and Julio Jones and A.J. Brown. So on one hand, I guess you could look at the Todd Downing situation and say, I don't really know how to evaluate him because he's not really had the playmakers at his disposal. To Ben's point from last segment, I also think there have been some times where you look at some of the play calling on early downs, and I think there's been a lot there that's been left to desire. So overall, how do you try to evaluate the job that Todd Downing has done thus far as offensive coordinator?
Well, did I hear Ben correct? I mean, I hadn't really thought of it this way, but it sounded like Ben thinks, you know, there's at least a chance maybe that Vrabel could move on from Todd Downing. I hadn't really considered that a possibility. Maybe I'm taking a leap on what Ben said there, but I would be surprised, by the way, if that were to happen. As far as the evaluation, to me, it's just so difficult. Because yeah, I mean, I think he didn't run the ball enough in Pittsburgh. I think in some early downs, it's been too predictable. You know, there's been moments that you didn't like. He's had some good weeks too. Like I thought, you know, we talked earlier about, boy, we just haven't seen these weapons together and doing what they were supposed to do this year, right? Well, we did see that in the Kansas City game when they basically scored a touchdown every time they got the ball until the game was just out of hand. And I thought that was a pretty good job of scripting and calling plays. So it's amazing how much better he looked that week. You know, I don't have a strong feeling is really my answer. I don't have some strong, like, oh man, Downing's a problem. Got to move on from him. I also don't feel like he's dunked on everybody who, called him the worst OC ever and 17 with the Raiders. It's just, it's TBD. Again, I think Todd Downing and I think Ryan Tannehill are the two individuals in the organization with the most to prove, the most pressure on them in the next however many weeks this goes.
I would agree. I don't anticipate a move being made. You know, let's say they finish out the stretch here in the regular season and they get put out their first round of the playoffs, whether that's the divisional round or the wild card weekend, and they're out. You know, a lot of people are going to be looking around and saying, all right, you had this offense. You had Ryan Tannehill coming back in. He regressed. I know you had injuries, but Julio Jones wasn't a factor. You get put out in the first round. You got to change up the offensive coordinator. It wasn't good enough with Todd Downing. I don't envision Mike Vrabel doing that. Number one, this kind of reminds me a little bit of the Shane Bowen situation from a year ago that Ben brought up. Now, the difference being Todd Downing is actually the offensive coordinator, and he does have that title. So that's a pretty big difference in that regard. But I would assume that Vrabel is not going to make a move with a guy on his staff after 1 year. Now, if you get into next year and the offense is not good and there continues to be issues, then maybe that forces his hand. But I don't know that I can envision, given everything that's happened this year on that side of the ball, I don't know that I can envision Vrabel moving on from Downing after 1 year.
I would agree. I would also say that I assumed that the Titans were going to, I know it's not Vrabel, but it's the Titans, John Robinson, you know, they were going to stick with Mike Mularkey when he got in the playoffs and won a playoff game, and that didn't happen. And obviously that had something to do with his staff, but you do have to be ruthless at times in this league. And at times you just have to say, you know what, I like you, and you did a fine job, but we can do better, and so we're going to go ahead and upgrade. At some point in Vrabel's career as a head coach, I mean, if he's going to have a long career as a head coach, I think it's trending toward he will, as long as he wants to have that. You know, right. Like, you're going to have to make some of those choices where it's like, this is someone I trust and did okay, but you know, if we want to win Super Bowls, here's this OC out here I could get, and we could be better. We have not seen Vrabel do it. We've seen Vrabel be very much homegrown and promote people. There's no way you can go through your entire tenure, you know, long tenure as an NFL head coach, and just keep doing it that way. There's no way. And be as successful as you want. So I would agree with you, but I think, you know, look, you have to keep an open mind. If he determines, and I think the QB thing is the big thing here, if they determine, man, Arthur Smith and Tannehill had a real feel for each other and that really helped the offense, and it just wasn't there with Todd and Ryan, that's a totally internal evaluation. We can all sit out here and say whatever we want. I have no clue. But that's one of those. That's some of that information that Vrabel has that maybe could swing him that way.
We'll continue to take your thoughts on the Titans when we come back on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Attention, men, have you been struggling with erectile dysfunction? Well, Hillside Medical Clinic has a breakthrough treatment for ED that does not require any pills, injections, or surgery. And right now, Andrew joins me from Hillside Medical Clinic to tell us all about it. Andrew, what's going on, man? How are we doing?
Hey, I am doing well. And that's right, this is a major advancement. We're not stuck in the past anymore taking the pill for erectile dysfunction. Hillside Medical uses a technology called wave therapy. This omits gentle pressure waves, which repair and open up the blood vessels. You can kind of imagine what more blood flow in the bedroom might do. It can reverse the erectile dysfunction. We've helped a lot of men and a lot of couples do exactly that.
So, Andrew, what kinds of studies have been done on this wave therapy technology?
Well, that's what's so great, in my opinion, is that science backs this. There are 50 studies. Most of them are posted at hillsidemedicalclinic.com. We've got universities, hospitals, journals. They all say safe and effective. They even called this the new standard of care for erectile dysfunction.
And Andrew, you have a special offer if our listeners call in right now.
If you're ready to regain your love life, end the ED, and throw those pills away, oh yes we do, call us now. The exam, assessment, and blood flow ultrasound is free with zero obligation, plus a gift that you'll love. It produces immediate results in the bedroom. That's worth the trip, guys. This is worth $500. It's free to callers now.
You heard it, guys. Put a stop to your erectile dysfunction by treating the root cause of the problem. Call Hillside Medical Clinic right now to qualify for that offer at 615-576-5000. That's 615-576-5000. Put a stop to your ED and regain your love life today. Call Hillside Medical Clinic right now at 615-576-5000. Bowl season is the best season. ESPN The Game Nashville is your home for college football bowl games and the college football playoffs, brought to you by 312 Pizza Company in Germantown and Central Barbecue. Tonight at 5:45 on ESPN 94.9, tune in for Texas Tech versus Mississippi State in the AutoZone Liberty Bowl, followed by the Guaranteed Rate Bowl with Minnesota taking on West Virginia. Make sure you're tuning in for that. 312 Pizza Company is the perfect spot to catch every game during the bowl season. For a list of games carried on 102.5 The Game and ESPN 94.9, hit up our website at thegamenashville.com/bowl games. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, live from the Hillside Medical Game Studio. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rexford, Michelle Konezovic here with you on this Tuesday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Taking your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Matt from Camden texting in says, there is no way that Vrabel is moving on from Todd Downing after this year. Vrabel is way too loyal to his guys. Do you think that Vrabel is too loyal to his guys on his coaching staff, Joe Rexroth?
Well, I think when he has someone who is absolutely underperforming for, you know, and maybe when the team is too, then that's an easier thing to say. But you got to tell me who. I mean, I know some people. Okay, well, some people have wanted Craig Aukerman fired. Some people have wanted Keith Carter fired. Yeah. You know, there's been various, you know, you got to fire this assistant, that assistant. I'm a huge, you know, like the position coach thing with me, it's like the position coach does exactly what the head coach and coordinator wants done with the position group. I'm not saying that, like, there aren't better coaches than other coaches, like Kerry Coombs here. I mean, I think clearly he had a connection with those players, fiery. So, okay, so you can have a position coach who stands out. It's hard for me. I mean, it's just, I just can't buy it all at like this whole, like, what is Keith Carter going rogue and teaching these weird techniques that no one else, you know? I mean, it's just, I mean,
we're not going to work on any pass blocking today, all run blocking for this practice.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, we don't need to work on, yeah, we don't need to work on pass block. You're fine. You guys are fine. You know what to do. You know what to do. You know what? Let's have a snack break. Here, let's have some orange slices, okay? Yeah, the position coach thing. The really good ones who have good connection with the players, and maybe they get more involved in game planning, you know, with the whole offensive staff. Okay, those coaches elevate. But, I mean, I think you have to be a real slug to be, like, fireable as a position coach. That's just my opinion. Now, I mean, it's a little bit different with special teams because that is a coordinator. So there's some fair criticism of Craig Aukerman in the kicking game overall. But I just haven't seen any evidence yet that Vrabel is, like, just hanging on for dear life to a coach who's terribly underperforming. Now, I think last year, a lot of people wanted Shade Bowen out of there. Okay, great, keep him at linebackers coach, whatever. There's the number one example, right, that people would cite. Well, has Shane Bowen not answered that this year?
I would think so. And the Todd Downing part of this discussion is, I mean, to me, I still look at it. Look, don't get me wrong. There have been some things that Todd Downing has done this year that have bothered me. I mean, I thought, quite frankly, the first half against San Francisco, that he was atrocious. I didn't think that there was a very good game plan. I mean, look, they had 55 yards of total offense in the first half. It doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure out that that's not good enough. So I understand that. I think there have been times this year where he doesn't have what I think the feel of the game should be. I mean, I think the Pittsburgh game is a good example of that. I mean, they ran the ball 42 times. I think they should have run the ball more in that game. I think the feel has been missing at times. So I think there is plenty to criticize about Todd Downing. I just look at the situation and go back to, if you would have told us heading into the season that Derrick Henry is going to miss half the year, Julio Jones is going to miss half the year, A.J. Brown is going to be in and out of the lineup due to injury, and all of a sudden your offensive line can't pass block, like, what would our expectations be for Todd Downing in this offense? I don't know. It's hard for me to separate all that in this discussion, even though there have been lots that there's been a lot of stuff that's happened with Downing this year that I've not liked.
I totally agree. And that's the thing. It's just like, and again, that gets into the, some people just don't want it. They don't want it. It sounds like excuse making. But again, I think that's a good way to put it. Go back to the beginning. Tell someone this is going to happen. What's the Titans record right now? You know, now the Titans record as it is has a lot to owe to the defense.
Yes.
And I have to think even the most optimistic of, Titans fan who was hoping for a big turnaround in defense. I mean, I have to think that still this defense has exceeded those expectations, right? Or they can't be too much, they must be at least close. I mean, you can't have expected a ton more than, the number two rush D in the league. And I guess, what are they, 12th overall now? They're eighth in red zone D. They just held the number one red zone O to, 2 for 4, by the way.
Third down defense. Yeah.
Yeah, they're eighth in the league right now. They are now up to eighth in the league. They go from worst ever, not worst in the league, worst ever since the stat has been a stat in the early 80s to eighth in the league, 37%. So you're going down from, remind me the number last year.
It was like 52, wasn't it?
Yeah, I think that's right. 52 to 37. So again, you owe a lot to that. But still, 10-5, and there's been some really good offensive weeks. I mean, I think there have been some games that I came away saying, I think he did have a good feel. I like, and that is, it is very, you can always nitpick certain plays, of course. And there are certain plays where it's like, dude, what are you doing with any offensive coordinator? But I do feel like there's an overall, there's more of like a feel for the game and know when to pull something. Honestly, again, I didn't hate the AJ Brown little trick play at the time he did it. It didn't work, so it's an easy one to nitpick. There's an example of the OC is the easiest person to criticize in sports. The easiest coach to criticize in all sports is the OC. I didn't hate that, the feel for the game on that one. But at other times, it hasn't been great. It's just the outside evaluation to me of him is it's been okay. It has not been as good as Arthur Smith. Probably won't be as good as Arthur Smith. That's why Arthur Smith is a head coach who's probably exceeded expectations as a head coach in his first year as well.
But, that's also – we talked about that heading into the season. I mean, I never really expected Todd Downing to be as good as Arthur Smith. Now, the offensive talent that you brought in this year, I thought maybe there's a way that didn't matter. You didn't have to be as good as Arthur Smith with Julio Jones coming in and obviously A.J. Brown getting a year older, Derrick Henry being another year established in the league. I thought there was a way this offense could be every bit as good as it was last year, even with your offensive coordinator not being as good as Arthur Smith. Now, again, nobody could have, I guess, foreseen the way this season has gone from an injury standpoint. But to me, like the not being as good as Arthur Smith thing, I think people are going to have to lose sight of a little bit. I mean, Arthur Smith was a great offensive coordinator. He was a great fit with Ryan Tannehill, and the odds were, when you got a new offensive coordinator, he probably wasn't going to be as good as Arthur Smith. That's just the truth of the matter.
Yeah, I mean, I would look at – so in the Vrabel tenure, I mean, I think LaFleur's 1 year and now Downing's 1 year, probably pretty similar. Like, not bad. I mean, again, with way more challenges this year for Downing. Of course, in LaFleur's first year, Derrick Henry was still trying to figure out who he was, and then he did, and things took off. A point made to me on my text line, after the Indy win, so the Titans win in Indy, the division's going to be a cakewalk. They are soaring, flying high. And then, of course, we find out about Derrick Henry. As of that game, they were 11th in the league in total offense, and they're averaging more than 28 a game. So before the Henry injury, and then you have the AJ and Julio, all the stuff that happened that went wrong, that they've still been able to persevere through, they were not far off last year's 31 points a game. They were more than 28 a game, and they were 11th in the league. If you had those numbers right now, it'd probably be a different discussion around Todd Downing. And that is where it's just so hard to isolate him and say he's any kind of a problem.
So are you saying Todd Downing is going to go be a head coach after this year, comparing him to LaFleur?
Well, I'll tell you what. Hey, first of all, a couple weeks ago,
I know
he was the name was circulating, and if the Titans win a couple games here and they win a game or two in January, he's absolutely going to be on some lists. I don't know how high, but he will be on lists because that's what it is. This league is so much, and I think much more OC than DC now, right? People want the offensive guy more than anything, but yeah, it's possible. Dude, when Matt LaFleur got the head coaching job of your beloved Green Bay Packers, first of all, you must have like thrown something to the wall. No one saw that coming. And I know for a fact that inside the building, people were like, what? And I'm talking about the Titans building.
Yeah.
So, you know, it happens fast in this thing.
And he just became the first coach in NFL history to win 12 or more games in his first 3 years.
So as a Packers fan, scale of 1 to 10, confidence in LaFleur when he got the job versus confidence in LaFleur now?
I would say 2 when he got the job. And that may be nice. It was almost a 1. I would say now it's about an 8.
Wow.
I'm still not very confident in him. He still does some things on a game-by-game basis that drive me nuts.
That's pretty good, though. A 2 to an 8, man.
Yeah, man. Oh, wait, so, look. You know how many games the guy's won? It's hard to not be somewhat confident.
Right. I mean, he obviously – that's the thing. I mean, and there's going to be toonses out there who are like, oh, yeah, Aaron Rodgers – you don't win that many games as a head coach in the NFL unless you can do the job pretty well. There's a lot to the job.
There is a lot to the job. And who knows? I mean, the Titans offensive coordinator position, apparently a pipeline for becoming a head coach in the NFL.
That's right. So wave goodbye to Todd Downing, everybody.
That's right. Go to thegamenashville.com/deals to check out Nashville's best deals. Check out this great deal. You can get a Downtown Dollars $150 digital gift card for only $100. The gift card is redeemable at hundreds of Downtown Nashville shops, restaurants, and more. And with Downtown Dollars, you get more to spend at an old favorite or discover one of the many new destinations in downtown's growing neighborhoods. Also, it's the end of the year blowout. Save 75% off at Bad Axe Throwing Nashville, Nashville Armory, and the Beanbag Coffee and Tea Shop. Check out other deals from the Woodhouse Spa, Brooklyn Bowl, Seafood Sensation, at more. You can find all those now at thegamenashville.com/deals. We'll be right back. Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
As a coach, what do you think when you see a play like that? That has so many elements that require it to happen.
I love that, Matt. Like a big piece of prime rib, man. That's how we get excited with it. So that's when everybody's working together, you're tough to stop. So you know what a piece of prime rib tastes like, don't you? That guy? Yeah, you and I do both too. So.
That was Andy Reid, head coach of the Kansas City Chiefs. Joe, I swear, that guy, he thinks about football and food. Those are the only two things he thinks about, which is really not far off from what I think about as well. So good for Andy Reid.
I mean, there aren't too many things better in life than those two things. So Andy Reid has got life figured out.
Cheeseburgers, prime rib, all over the place.
I mean, that's a dude who would give you a good answer on your New Year's resolution.
Near the top.
Yeah. I actually want to hear his resolutions.
I bet they involve cheeseburgers and prime rib.
More of both. The end.
Yes. Go to our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. This one's a doozy. I'm interested to get your thoughts on this one, Rex Road. This is crazy to say, but if we win this week and clinch the South and Kansas City wins in Cincinnati, that would make it almost impossible to win the bye. So could we forfeit the last game against the Texans and create our own off or bye week? Just forfeit. Don't even want any part of Davis Mills.
No,
you cannot.
All of these games are part of the NFL very valuable inventory, especially as television inventory. So no, you cannot just say, we'll forfeit.
We're not showing up.
I want you to look around the league at the Lions and Jags and Jets and all these awful teams that are still going out there every week and smashing into people. That's the league, man. So the Titans are going to have to pay the piper, the very long-necked piper named Davis Mills.
That is correct. Better get ready to play some defense against that guy. No question about it. I mean, if forfeiting was an option, Urban Meyer probably still be a head coach of the Jags because he's a forfeited by like week 9. just be done at that point.
Just hope Shad Khan doesn't, like, you know, just forgets about firing him.
Let's just call it a year. We'll practice and get back at it next year. Why not?
And by the way, look, it's not let me tell you something. If this season has taught us anything, it is that you absolutely cannot count on anything. You can't. You can't count on anything. I mean, you can say you can and say, well, of course, you know, the Titans blew out the Jags twice, so that's two things you expected. But the Chiefs losing the one seed at Denver in the last week of the season wouldn't even register on the surprises of the year. Wouldn't register. So keep that in mind. I mean, I'm guilty of this all the time. Like, okay, that's a win. That's a loss. That's a win. No, you don't know. We don't know. The Titans could lose both these games. The Chiefs could lose both these games. I mean, it's let's remember 2 years ago, and this is how the Titans made a run, is that the Patriots blew the one seed, right, on the last day. And in stunning fashion, was it to Miami? I want to say it was to Miami. I think that's right, but yeah. I have to look back. But you know, that was a stunning turn of events that totally changed the bracket to what it ended up being. Of course, the Titans took that path to all the way to Kansas City. So, yeah, just let's learn from this entire season, which is as wacky a season as I can remember in this league, and just keep an open mind.
Can we also, like, preemptively shut down the "I don't want the one seed because it's cursed" stuff that I've heard from some people as well? Like, we get into this conversation with the President's Trophy in the NHL too. Of, oh man, you don't want that. You don't want to win the President's Trophy because you win that, you're cursed. There's no way. You don't even have a shot for the cup. Right. Now, look, do teams not get the one seed and win the Super Bowl? Yeah. Look last year, Tampa Bay did it. I mean, but you're basically, if you get the one seed, it's a playoff game. You don't have to play. It's essentially a playoff win. So, yes, the one seed, I'll take my chances with it.
It's a literal bye, and it's the only bye that you can have. And, I mean, look, how can you say something's cursed when you've actually been able to experience it twice? You know, I mean, come on. I mean, two times, you know, it happened in a very, very bitter, disappointing losses at home to the Ravens. But
it did.
That's two times. How about what about the old saying, third time's a charm? How about that?
Could be this year. I mean, hey, right now the matchup would be against the Ravens. Get the Ravens. Taking them on. Maybe the third time's the charm there at home on the playoffs, too. Actually, I guess that would be the fourth.
That's right. Now, of course, again, the bracket can change. If you do get the one, and don't misunderstand me. You want the one. You want the one. But if you do get the one and the bracket were to stay the same, and there are tiebreakers that have people, I mean, it could stay the same. You know, you could be waiting and then playing the winner of Buffalo and Indy. And honestly, like, I mean, if I were the Titans, I would sign up for Buffalo in that. And I know Titans fans who hate the Colts and like, we'll beat them again, Wentz, blah, blah. That's fine. I certainly think the Titans could beat the Colts a third time at home in a playoff game. But I wouldn't relish either of those rematches, honestly. Especially if what we just saw from Buffalo on Sunday is something they can carry forward. So, you know, that could actually be – it could be a tougher game. But still, like you just said, you just basically won one game to get there without having to play, and you get all that rest. And what would that do for this team to have all that time? You know, like if Derrick Henry doesn't play in Houston and you got the one, I mean, you're talking about, what, 11 weeks? Pretty good.
Yeah. Let's go to our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Adam in Portland texting in. I actually think the goatee is making Joe wiser and make more sense. We need this bye. Let's get healthy and run to a Super Bowl. Adam in Portland, big fan of your goatee.
You can call it a Joe tee if you like.
Wow. That's good.
I see what you did there, Rex Road. Also, I have a new one. Grandma ran over Rex Road's reindeer. Or Grandma got ran over by Rex Road's reindeer.
That's a lot. That's a tongue twister.
How about Grandma got run over by a Rex deer? I don't know what that is, but...
Good gracious.
That's amazing.
Well, Michelle's gone.
It's like a Tyrannosaurus Rex and a deer combined. Like a dino deer.
Like Sharknado?
Oh, that, oh yeah.
Really
good. Love some Sharknado.
Who doesn't? Oh, hey, if you get the Colts again in the playoffs, maybe Frank Wright will continue to employ the strategy of just running Jonathan Taylor like 12 times a game instead of 25 against the Titans, which has been interesting to watch.
It has. So is Frank Reich, who is going to win Coach of the Year, by the way?
Well, I mean, for a while, Belichick was in the league. I feel like that's died down a little bit.
Yeah, because he won't win it.
No. I mean, I don't know. Maybe Frank Reich. Vrabel should be in the running. I don't know that he's going to win. But he should be in the running, in my opinion.
Because Kingsbury has faded.
That's
Belichick has to do something extraordinary to win it. God, I mean, you could look at Andy Reid and the turnaround, but I still think like guys like that who now have rings and everything. I think Reich is in there. I think Vrabel should be in there. Maybe Zach Taylor. Maybe does Zach Taylor get in there if like the Bengals win the division?
I think he should. Yeah.
Yeah, because I mean, look, for as impressive as they've been, like you can, like Mike McCarthy should get zero votes, in my opinion.
Really? Zero votes?
Yeah. I just don't think he's good. Am I wrong? You're a Packers fan.
He's won a Super Bowl.
Yeah, I know. That's the thing. I just said, like, LaFleur winning all these games has to mean something. So Mike McCarthy winning games and winning a Super Bowl has to mean something. But I think he's kind of on scholarship.
Well, does LaFleur get love for Coach of the Year? He's won, could be the one seed again.
I don't know. That's a good question.
It's always interesting, like the people that are like, I guess when you're expected to win, when you win, nobody gives you any love for it, which I to some degree, I understand. Yes. But I mean, there are some cases where, like, Nick Saban never wins Coach of the Year in the SEC. And I'm always like, yeah, he probably should win Coach of the Year. He's best coach in the
right.
SEC.
Right. Well,
it's just interesting how that goes.
It is. It's very much, I think even more in college, but I think in the NFL too, it's very much who exceeds expectations, comes out of nowhere type thing. That's who wins Coach of the Year. But if the Titans, and they had high expectations, but if you look close at their year, if they go 12-5 and get the one seed in the AFC, how does Vrabel not get it?
That's a great question. So with everything they've had to do this year, I think he should get it if that happens. But I think he should be in the mix.
Long way to go to get there. Yeah, yeah. You know. Don't assume anything. They could be 10-7 2 weeks from today. So
that is true. When we come back, we'll be joined by our good friend Charles Robinson from Yahoo Sports. We'll get his thoughts on the Titans and all things NFL heading down the crunch part of this regular season with 2 weeks left to go. That's coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.